Hey, what's up? How y'all doing out there? Before I get started, first thing I want to say is rest in peace to all the victims of the Texas school shooting and the grandmother that was murdered as well. So first I want to say rest in peace before I get started into this episode. I know I do these podcasts unfiltered, and that's because I try to be organic and real as possible. I don't try to sugarcoat anything of that nature. So first things first, I'm gonna say rest in peace, and we're actually gonna get into probably that be the main topic of the show after I get into this last night's NBA game. But before we do that, I want to give you a word from one of our sponsors.
Are you a musician looking for music marketing and promotion? Then look no further than Promo Palace LLC, your one-stop shop for all music promotion services. Services include Spotify playlist pitching, YouTube video promotion, record pool promotion, blog placements, radio airplay promotion, SoundCloud promotion, and much more. With over 2,000 customers and over 10 years of experience in online promotion, Promo Palace LLC is a company you can trust. For more info, please go to promopalace.biz. See you there.
Hopefully, we will see you there. That's right. If you need marketing promotions, go to Promo Palace LLC at promopalace.biz. As you heard, the beautiful lady, my beautiful spokesperson, we pretty much are the one-stop shop. We do everything. Press releases, SEO, social media advertising, music video promotion, TikTok influencers, Instagram influencers, playlist pitching, blog placements, record pool placements, and much, much more. Let's pull up last night's score. And it was 120 to 110 is the final. Golden State finished out Dallas like I figured they would. Because they really couldn't afford to let Dallas win another game. Because then if Dallas wins back-to-back, then I'm sitting there thinking, if I beat you back-to-back, I'm already sitting there thinking, well, I could beat you three straight. So last night we got six from Reggie Bullock. North Carolina gone raise up. Didn't raise up last night. Dorian Finney-Smith, 13 points. He ain't done much this series at all. Dwight Powell, 3. 10 from Jalen Brunson, 28 from Luka. You got 26 for Spencer Dinwiddie, and Maxi Kleber gave you 7 and 8 rebounds. Once again, Golden State. Whew, Golden State was so well balanced. 18 and 10 from Andrew Wiggins, who's and 2 assists and a steal, who's clearly found his way. We've realized that Andrew Wiggins isn't like he isn't the first or second best player on the team. He's like the third or the fourth, and that's fine because the starter is a starter, baby. Draymond gave you 17, 9 assists, 6 rebounds, doing Draymond-like things. 10 points and 4 assists and 18 rebounds from Looney. Looney had 10 and 18 last night. I mean, that's all you ask from your center if he's not no star player, or superstar. If he's just a average starting center, 10 and 18, 10 and 15 is great. Klay Thompson put up 32-piece wing dinner. He took 25 shots on that too. He had 3 assists, 2 rebounds, 1 steal. Klay's definitely still got it in him when he can have nights when he can do that. But he's not as consistent night in, night out right now. Steph Curry gave you 15, and now, of course, Steph Curry had a poor shooting night last night with 29%, 5 for 17, 2 for 7 from threes. Klay was on. He was 8 for 16 from threes, 50%. I mean, that's really what sums up all of his points right there. And Klay's going to be able to still do that if he can get those 16 shots and he hits them down like that. Jordan Poole gave you 16 off the bench. He was the only negative. He was a negative 6 out of the top 6 players that really got PT. He had 6 assists as well and 6 rebounds. And congratulations to the Golden State Warriors, who are now going to the NBA Finals once again. And also they started a new award last night, I guess, for the Western Conference. It's the Magic Johnson Western Conference MVP Award, and Curry was the first winner of that. If the Eastern Conference ain't Michael Jordan, I'm going to have to get her back on this podcast and rant. So the Eastern Conference better be the Michael Jordan Award. I know that much. Mavericks. Let's talk about the Mavericks real quick before we get into the main topic for the day. What do I think the Mavericks should do? In my opinion, this is what I would do. I know I'm a North Carolina Tar Heel fan, but Reggie Bullock got to go. Dwight Powell got to go. I will move Luka to small forward in Reggie Bullock's position. I would probably try to keep Dinwiddie and Brunson and move Dinwiddie and Brunson in your backcourt. Yeah, it might be a small backcourt, but let me see how tall Brunson is. He's probably only 6'4". Oh, he's only 6'1". So it would definitely be – and what is Dinwiddie? I'm thinking Dinwiddie is a little taller than 6'1". Okay, Dinwiddie is 6'6". I'm moving Dinwiddie at two guard, Brunson at point guard, and Luka at small forward. Dorian Finney-Smith, I might trade him too. Let Maxi Kleber get his slot. I'm going after a center. I'm going after the best center I could possibly get. Maybe the dude Vucevic from the Bulls might be on the trade market. Any big center that comes up on the trade market or that's a free agent. Like, let me see. NBA free agents. Yeah. So you got, I'm going after DeAndre Ayton. I'm going after DeAndre Ayton. If I'm Dallas, I'm going after DeAndre Ayton. I'm trying to keep Dinwiddie. I'm trying to keep Brunson. Move Luka to the small forward. Get rid of Bullock. Get rid of Dwight Powell. Whatever, man. You know, I'm moving on. I don't like, that's what I'm going after. DeAndre Ayton. Even though he is a real free agent. I mean, Brunson's going to be a free agent. Somebody might be throwing him some money. We don't know. Jonas Valanciunas. That'd be my second option. I'd go after DeAndre Ayton first, and then I'd go after Valanciunas. Actually, I might just go after Valanciunas. He probably would fit great with Dallas. Go after Valanciunas, move Luka to small forward, try to keep Brunson, try to keep Dinwiddie. I think Dinwiddie might already be signed anyways. I think he's still on the contract anyways. So that's what I would do. Oh, Anthony Simons is a restricted free agent. I'm thinking Blazers are going to try to keep him. You got Nurkic. Maybe they can get Nurkic. I don't know, but he's always hurt. Marvin Bagley III might be a good pickup to come off the bench for Dallas. I'm definitely seeing some moves that could be made. Mitchell Robinson. I mean, I'm definitely seeing some moves. Mo Bamba. Mitchell Robinson and Mo Bamba is definitely an upgrade from Dwight Powell. But Dwight Powell's got to go. He did nothing in this series. And to be honest with you, I might would just try to trade Dorian Finney-Smith and keep Reggie Bullock and then move Luka to a small forward. Luka technically could play power forward. He could play point forward. So that's what I would do. I would definitely move off from either Finney-Smith or Bullock. Dwight Powell got to go. Man, I don't know. They got that big Bertans contract. They got to try to get rid of that too. Dallas is going to definitely have to make some moves and some adjustments. Definitely going to have to make moves and adjustments. Okay, let me give you another word from one of our sponsors. And then we're going to get to the topic. Yeah. Yeah.
Me and my team whenever we link up, they're gonna be drink up. We sit and relax and have few glasses when there's things to think about. Like I'm nice with the boss when I tend to the bars and I'm not talking drink ups. So tell the bartender that's tending the bar to please pass me a big cup up. And tell that waitress is waiting on us to put a little ice in it. Now watch the ice become weightless like the spaceships that I be sitting in. Now wait and listen, another waiting for that tropical twist that'll take a good taste bud. Now taste some. Now I insist it's the Dizzle.
That's right. It's the Dizzle. Do you Dizzle? Yes, I Dizzle. Dizzle brand premium luxury liqueur. Check them out. Dizzlebrand.com. A mixture of agave, tequila, cognac, and orange liquor mango mix. If you want to, if Dizzle's not in your state, you can get online. Go to our location, Dizzlebrand.com, and order your very own bottle. Dizzle brand premium luxury liqueur. Bottle or bottles. You must be 21 and or older. Shipping and handling is included. Right now, Dizzle is available in various stores throughout Southern California, Kansas, Oklahoma City, and coming soon to Missouri, Arkansas, and a couple other places as well. So check them out, DizzleBrand.com, Dizzle Premium Luxury Liqueur. I'm just going to do this one topic of the day, the mass shootings. And basically, I'm just talking about mass shootings in general, not just the Texas shooting, but I'm going to talk about that a little bit. There's a few issues I have when these mass shootings have is that people take time, they take an opportunity to try to politicize it. There's a lot of people that try to use this for clickbait and stuff like that. That's why I kind of waited everybody else. I waited a few days and whatnot. Excuse me. Waited a few days, let everybody else, you know, talk about it because some of them are using it for their advantage just to get more followers or more clickbait. And I'm not going to never do it like that when it comes to things like this. So I don't like when people use it to their advantage for followers or clicks, or they use it to gain political votes and stuff like that. Now, as far as the Texas mass shooting, I know everybody's trying to point fingers at who to blame. Do we blame the governor, blame the mayor? Based on the details of what I've seen of that mass shooting, I have to blame the police in this situation. There could have been a lot less kids killed in this situation if the police didn't sit out there and not go in. The police literally waited like 40 minutes to an hour, and they're not even the ones that went in there and stopped the assailant, if I recall it correctly. It was Border Patrol. Somebody works for Border Patrol. It's really, I don't know what reason that the police can give that's a valid reason or why they didn't go in there instantly when somebody's, you know, I know they try to assume that these are hostage situations, but you can't always assume that they're hostage situations. You can't really blame, like, who do you blame for this guy killing his grandmother? I mean, how does anybody catch that one? I mean, like, there's 300 million people in America, and I guarantee, it's about 325 million, and I guarantee 324 million and 500 thousands of those, let me rephrase this. If there's 325 million people in America, I guarantee like 324,998 of them jokers aren't thinking about killing their grandmother. And like, your grandmother would have to do some heinous stuff to you to really kill your grandmother. And him killing his grandmother, the problem I have with that is like, how does that lead to him going to the school and killing kids? One doesn't seem like it has anything to do with the other. You kill your grandmother and then you go to an elementary and kill kids. Normally when people go shoot up schools and stuff, they actually attend these schools and whatnot. This guy was a freaking nutcase. You know, and I know people automatically screaming gun control, take away guns. I can tell you right now, taking away all guns is never going to be the solution. Taking away everybody's guns is never going to be the solution. Because then when you take away everybody's guns, the government will completely have control over us. Complete control over us. We'll be completely a communist country if you take away all the guns. And there's a couple of problems when you get into the gun control and take away guns argument is, okay, I think you got to be 18 and older, you can buy like a shotgun or a rifle or something like that. I think you got to be 21 and over to buy a handgun in some states. And some states could be 18 and over to buy a handgun. I don't know. I could be wrong. I know I personally own a shotgun, a 12-gauge shotgun. I've never shot it. Don't ever want to have to use it. Have no intentions of ever using it. But I have had my house broken into a lot of times. A lot of times through the years. I know that people have broke. There's people that's bold enough to break in your house while you're there. And maybe they'll break in and not know you're there and break in. You know what I'm saying? But there's people bold enough to break in your house while you're there. And if somebody breaks in your house while you're there, to me, that's automatic grounds for you to just shoot them. Because if they're bold enough to break in the house while you're there, I mean, there's no telling what they're bold enough to do. And that's the thing. Like, sometimes people don't got enough time to assume that their life's in danger. And that's where the cops fucked up. The cops fucked up in this Texas shoot. They assumed that he just ran in there to barricade himself and turn it into a hostage situation. Well, that wasn't apparently his intentions. I don't think that him running to the school was an accident, in my opinion. I don't think him running to the school was an accident one bit. I think the cops were chasing. Supposedly the cops were already chasing him, but I think he already knew where he was going, already had intentions where he's going, you know. And the problem with the gun, you know, taking away the guns is people can go to the military when they're 18 years old and they could die in war. If somebody could die in war at 18, then you can't tell them that they can't buy a gun. You can't. I mean, that's the hard part of this argument is that we're sending 18-year-olds to military to die sometimes. There's 18-year-olds dying in war, you know, and back in the Civil Wars and stuff, they were younger than that. They were like 15-year-old boys and 6-year-old boys dying in war, you know. So in order for you to, like, I might be with the component of we move the gun laws up to like anything with a handgun. Like, okay, see, that's the thing. Like, it's a slippery slope. I shouldn't have to wait to 21 years of old. If I own my own apartment if I got my own apartment at 18 years old, I shouldn't have to wait to 21 years old to get protection for my home. If you think you're going to be able to protect your home with a steak knife or a ninja sword, good luck. Because I guarantee the criminals don't have... That's another reason why you can't take away everybody's guns. Because then all the criminals will have guns illegally. And then they'll just... crime will run rampant. Like, that's none of these people ever think of these things through. They don't really think of these solutions through. This would probably be my solution. We probably got to stop sending people to the army at age 18. We might need to have a police academy of sorts for the military, where they go to this academy. It'd be like a military academy, a military college or whatever. They have to go to this for 3 years. And that way we make sure every single individual is well-trained and well-qualified. And if they're not, then they should go to the army. I don't care if they're man or woman. Like, the army should never be, that's the thing. The army should be one place that is not about inclusion. It's about, are you qualified? The most qualified. I seen a video where there was some female that couldn't, she's barely could finish the end of the course and she's just crawling. Like, no, we don't need soldiers that crawl to the finish line. So I think, and you think the rest of the world doesn't know that our military is weaker than everybody else's because of inclusion? Inclusion made our military weak. We need to strengthen it up. So maybe gun laws can help that. Or gun, you know, if you want to go to the military, you'll have to go to this military academy from 18 to 21. And you have to be well-trained and qualified before you even have a chance to go to the military. And yeah, we'll pay these people while they're in this military college, this military academy. You know, you pay them not as much as the regular soldiers, but you pay them enough so they can make a living. They learn, get qualified. And then when they turn 21, then if they make the cuts, then they go to the military. And then that way, we're not sending people to war until they're 21. And which is, that's another thing. Like, most people can't buy alcohol until they're 21, but we're sending them to war when they're 18 years old. And I think military might be different. I think military actually could drink alcohol at 18. They just can't purchase it. I could be wrong. That's why I said I think. But I think military is allowed to actually legally could drink alcohol at 18, but they can't purchase it. So we probably need to wait to 21 to send people to the military as far as going to actual war-like situations. And then that way you could raise the gun laws from 18 to 21. And I think you'd only should raise it only for like maybe like handguns and semi-automatics, because we are not allowed to buy automatics anyways. We're allowed to buy semi-automatics. The people that got the automatics are the criminals. Criminals have automatics. Legal gun owners have semi-automatics. So that we don't even have if the criminals want to come over power, the legal gun owners they're unmatched. They don't have enough firepower against the automatic weapons, you know. But I don't think nobody should have to ever wait, should not be allowed to buy a shotgun or a rifle to put in a house, you know. And I don't know why, I don't know that people need to be driving around with guns legally. Maybe we need to stop that, people driving around with guns. Like people like walking in stores with guns on their hips and stuff like that. Maybe we could pull that back some. Maybe we need to make guns only be a home defense thing. But then it's a slippery slope, because I've been robbed at gunpoint before. And how do I know this person at gunpoint isn't going to kill me? You don't know that. I mean, these slopes are so slippery. And I was talking to a friend about this, and we were going over like the numbers of mass shootings, and America definitely leads the way in this. But the only reason America leads the way in this is because the right to bear arms. We have less gun control than any other country on the planet. Of course, we got more people walking up to you, more criminals with illegal guns walking up to you and robbing you at gunpoint. You know, we got more drive-by shootings with illegal guns than any other country. You know, we got more elderly people getting robbed at gunpoint. I mean, just like, we got more store robberies at gunpoint than any other country. You know, you got to take into account those. And criminals aren't using legal guns. They might be using guns that were legal at some point, but they were stolen and sold over and over and over again. That's the thing. Illegal guns get sold over and over and over again. You could be buying, if you buy a gun on the streets, man, there's a 50-50 chance it's got a body on it. 50-50 chance. It's just, I don't think when these people just start pointing fingers and start blaming people and start saying, take away the guns, we need this gun control, that gun control, they don't think how it's ever going to affect them. And more likely it's not going to affect them because politicians have, you know, they got security and bodyguards. They can afford bodyguards and securities and stuff like that. The average person can't afford security and bodyguard. If you ain't got a gun, if you take away everybody's guns, just the average citizen, criminals will run rampant and take over. They will rob and kill and steal like Sodom and Gomorrah. It'd be Sodom and Gomorrah, like they say how they depict it, you know, because, I mean, somebody made a great point. There's no law that you could create that stops criminals and evil people. You know why? There's no law that you could create that stops criminals or evil people from committing the crime. Because they're criminals. They're going to commit they don't follow laws. Evil people don't follow laws and rules. Criminals don't follow laws and rules. The only thing that stops them is the consequences. But that doesn't stop them from actually committing the crime. And we don't got, and Steve, I want to talk about Steve Kerr, his little interview thing. Steve Kerr is a freaking hypocrite. Because Steve Kerr was the one on social media sitting there crying and saying, cops don't need to be in school. Cops don't need to be in schools. Cops don't need to be in schools. Well, you see what happens when cops don't go into schools, when cops listen to you, Steve Kerr? Then a killer stays in the school for 40 minutes and kills more and more kids based off your ideology and your views. But now you want to backtrack your ideologies and views with your tears, you know, and the fake phony tears as far as I'm concerned. Because Steve Kerr was clearly on social media saying cops should not be in schools. Well, clearly we know that cops should be in schools. Maybe we should have a cop at every single school along with a partner. Maybe we need to have two cops at every school. I could tell you when I went to school, it was easy to skip school. It was easy to leave off school. So it's easy for anybody to just walk on campus and do whatever. If I had to blame anybody for the majority of them kids getting killed in that school shooting, I had to blame the cops. The cops should have instantly went in and stopped it and prevented it. And some years when you have one mass school shooting, how the hell are you supposed to find one nutcase out of 300 million? I mean, you can't give me no solution that would make any sense of how you find one crazy nutcase out of 300 million. Because that's what this is typically. You know, like our mass shootings started to rise in the late 80s. And then they took off in the high 90s. You know, like let me pull it up. Mass shootings by year. Mass shootings over the past 10 years. Oh, here's the one I was looking at. 82 to 2002. People could say, well, one is too much. You can't stop one freaking nutcase out of, you know, the 300 million, you can't find, it's impossible to damn near find one nut. This ain't the one I'm looking for. Where's the one I'm looking for? This ain't the one I'm looking for. Is it this one? Let me see. It might be this. All right, so 1982, you had one mass shooting. You had zero the next year. I mean, literally zero. Then it went up to two. Then you had zero. Then it was 1-1-1, 2-1. I mean, when the numbers is that low, it's like, okay, how do you find one crazy or two crazy people out of 300 million? A friend of mine said background checks and like mental health interviews. There's not enough days in a year. You got to do 1 million. You got to check 1 million people a day. There's not enough hours in a day for you to check 1 million people without some kind of computer software doing it for you. And then computer software is going to have flaws. People have flaws. What if a person, you're trying to find one mass shooting killer out of 300 million people. What if he diagnoses the wrong person? He's like, says, oh, this is the person that's going to do it. Like, y'all watching too many movies. What's that movie with Tom Cruise? Let me pull it up. Tom Cruise movies. It's the one where they stop crime before it happens. What was it called? What is it called? Where's it at? Minority Report. That's fairy tales. That's fantasy, man. Y'all watching too much Minority Report thinking we're going to be able to find a serial killer. There was one mass shooting or two up till from 1982 to 1990. 8 years straight. And then there was three in 1 year of that. So you're talking about three serial killers out of 300 million people. Like, that's Minority Report shit. It's impossible. It's mathematically impossible. You're trying to find one rotten apple. And it's like trying to find one rotten apple in 300 million rotten apples. Like one specific rotten apple in a big old thing of 300 million rotten apples. It's impossible. Like when they talk about trying to find a needle in a haystack, no, it's like trying to find a specific piece of hay in a haystack. You're trying to find a specific piece of hay in a haystack. Okay, so then it starts getting up. It goes up to about 1994. It goes up to like four. But then it goes back down to one for the next 3 years. Then it goes up to two, three, five. Then it goes back down to one. I mean, for a while, it was just like a lot of ones. And then it would spike a couple years. So then it would just be two or three more crazier people than the year before. Then it jumped up to five in 2000, which was the highest. But then it went down to 1-1-0-1-1. What I mean, if there's a reason it spiked, this is the thing people got to realize. If you come up with a specific reason for it to spike from 1-1-1 to 2 to 3 to 5, in 98 to 2000, you got to come up with the specific reason that it dropped from 5 to 1-1-0-1-1 in the next 5 years after that. For 5 years straight, it dropped down 400%. You know, so what's the reason it goes up 400% and what's the reason it goes down 400%? If you don't know neither of those, you could definitely never come up with a solution to this. And then it goes up to Then it hits 2000s, and then it starts going to 2, 3, 4, 3, 4, back down to 1, 3. And then clearly something happened around 2013 where it jumps to 7, 5, 4, 7, 6. And in 2018, we're at 11, 12, 10. But even when it goes to 11, 12, 10 in 2017, 18, 19, 2020, it drops down to 2. Huh. Now, I will say, if people realize, if notices, the spike started during Obama era, and then it moved up during the Trump era, and then it went down to, the only reason it went down 2020 is because of COVID. I'm telling you that right now. The only reason it went down to 2020 is COVID. And so clearly, this spike clearly started during the Obama administration. And then it doubled during, it damn near doubled during the Trump administration. And the only reason it went down during 2020, as I would say, is because of probably COVID restrictions. Even though 2019, 2020, COVID restrictions started hitting. But then it goes from 2 to back up to 6. It goes from 2 back up to 6. So it's back to Obama administration numbers. So I don't know if this is like, is this a cultural thing? Is this an administration thing that started to set a trend that just kept carrying over and carrying over? I mean, because even under matter of fact, yeah, 2000. Hold up, when did let me see. Trump presidency timeline. Let me see. So Trump was president from 2017. So he came in 2017. I mean, yeah, they went up. They were up 2000. I mean, they went up 5 in 2017, but they already went up from 2010. They were 1. 2012, they were 3. And then they literally doubled. And then they pretty much stayed higher than 3 the rest of the way of Obama's administration. So, I mean, this trend started really, it started going up a little bit in the 80s, but then it dropped down tremendously. And then it went a tad bit up in the early 90s. And then it dropped tremendously. And then it went back up a tad bit in the early, well, not the early 2000s, but the late 2000s, like 8 to 2010, like the late part of that decade. Then it dropped down, and then it just started going back up. 7 was the highest in 2012, and that was clearly Obama. It clearly reached its peak high with Obama. But you already see a trend of it starting to go that way, because it was its peak high was not, it was like in the 80s, it was 2. In the 90s, it was 4, I want to say. In the 2000s, early 2000s, it was 5. You know, you've seen a trend of it starting to go up. So this is something that was starting to go up regardless. And it went, now it's down to 2, 6, and 3, but I mean, 6 is still too many. There's got to be ways to prevent that many mass shootings. When you get down to like it's one or two or three, it's damn near impossible to find one or two or three crazy people. But then it starts getting, you start getting the double digits and stuff, you know. And not all those, that's the thing though, like some of those 11 and 12, 10 areas, those some of those mass shootings were just, it was so many different mass shootings going on, you know. And so far we've had, what, three this year. I mean, we're halfway in the year. We're probably going to hit, we might hit six again, you know. So that's the thing. This idea that Biden is unifying the country like he claimed he was is bogus. It definitely, you know, and like when you go from 7 to 10, I mean, what's really the difference? Three mass shootings? I mean, 7 is a lot still. And Obama was definitely peaking at high sevens, sixes and sevens during his tenancy. To be honest with you, Obama's mass shooting rates are higher than Biden's right now. They're higher than Biden's right now. Something really, really shifted during the Obama administration, though. I mean, because, like, there's a lot. I'm seeing a lot, like, 3-year straight one, 5-year straight one. Like, what causes these big spikes? You know, and until you figure out what causes these big spikes and to go up and what causes these big spikes to go down, I don't think you can ever truly figure out the solution to this. When it's like one person a year, there's no solution to you finding one crazy person out of 300 million. There's no solution to that. And anybody that thinks there's a solution to find one crazy person doing one mass shooting and in 1 year, there's no solution to that, man. There isn't. You have no common sense or common knowledge of anything in life if you think you can find one crazy nutcase out of 300 million. But when it starts, we starting to see it going up, you know, from 1 to 3 to 5 to 7 to 11 to 12. Then you start to find a pattern. And that's the thing. You got to, you know, find what's causing this pattern to go up and what causes the pattern to go down. If you don't know those two variables, I think it's probably mathematically, psychologically, realistically, physically, mentally impossible to solve this problem. If you think taking away everybody's guns will prevent mass shootings, that is the last thing that will prevent mass shootings. I guarantee you take away everybody's guns legally, there will still be massive gang mass shootings. And that's another thing. How do you got to realize there's different forms of mass shootings too. Like a guy going to kill his grandma and then kills a bunch of elementary kids, I don't know that there's any psychologist on the planet that can explain that. Then you got gang shootings like that go by in Chicago or a drive-by shootings in LA. Those are totally different than shooting up schools. But guess what? There are also mass shootings where innocent people and innocent bystanders get killed all the time. Every time there's a Chicago drive-by shooting or LA drive-by shooting, there's always an innocent non-gang member bystander included in the mix. Then the Buffalo shooting, where the guy goes and shoot up the store in a black neighborhood. That is not a school shooting. That was a racial motivated mass shooting. So you have racially motivated mass shootings. You got gang-motivated mass shootings, and gangs are killing over color, too. They're killing over bandana colors and clothing colors and hat colors. which is just as pathetic as killing over skin color. It's just as pathetic as killing over skin color. You know, I think it's one of the most moronic reasons to kill somebody is because they're wearing a hat that has a gang color, or a bandana that has a gang color. So you got people killing over skin color, killing over gang colors. And then you just got some crazy nutcases, these antisocial crazy nutcases that, okay, what do? You gather up every antisocial person in the planet, like the Jews, and throw them in a concentration camp? I mean, what do? Is there enough time in a year for you to decipher every antisocial person and to find out which one or which 10 out of the millions is nutcases? I mean, that seems like something that's mathematically impossible to do. There's only 24 hours in a day. How much time would you need to dissect a person to find out if they're crazy enough to kill their grandmother and kill a bunch of elementary kids? Because I can tell you what, when I went to school in Fayetteville, there's never been, I don't think there's ever been any mass shootings in Fayetteville, North Carolina. I don't know how many mass shootings have been in North Carolina, period. But I can tell you right now, you would never know. You would never know as a kid. The teachers would never know, because the teachers, first of all, the teachers, the job and the task that is appointed to the teachers is Mission Impossible. Tom Cruise couldn't get this shit done. You put too many kids in one classroom and you got one person trying to educate them all. And I see what Thomas Sowell was saying. It's impossible for kids to get education in classes because you always have the bad kids that don't give a rat's ass about learning anything in class that are fucking it up for the rest of the kids. And excuse my French, because I didn't mean to cuss. I didn't want to cuss in this podcast. But they're screwing it up for the rest of the kids. And if you got one bad kid in there that's just constantly interrupting and constantly loud, constantly talking, nobody can learn nothing in the classroom, you know? So it's impossible for any one teacher to know what every single kid is thinking and going through their head. It's impossible for them to give the exact amount of attention to every single one. There's not enough time, you know? So to me, the kids that should want to learn are the ones you focus on first, and the kids that don't want to learn, they need to be in their own separate classrooms. And maybe that's another thing. If you're not putting all these antisocial kids or these troublemaker kids or these troubled kids in their own separate classrooms, you can't decipher them. You're putting them in with the rest of the kids. They just sit in their antisocial. You got the antisocial crazy kid, and then you got the knucklehead kid that don't want to learn nothing. Then you got the class clown that, you know, I mean, like, it's almost impossible to find one rotten apple in the bunch. And even 10, because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about 3 to 10, 12 crazy nutcases. Because I can tell you, most people ain't sitting there even contemplating going shooting up a convenience store, grocery store, a school, or killing their grandmother, man. Most people are living somewhat normal, typical lives. Most people just get up and most kids are just getting up, go to school, and some are trying to get an education. Some are just trying to chill with the friends, and some are just trying to be the class clown and not do anything, you know. But I don't know that there's any real solution to this. Maybe I guarantee it's not take away the guns completely. That is never the solution, that you just eliminate citizens having guns. And it not just because not just to fight tyranny. I know that's going to be one of the main things, but you can't never take away people's guns from their household aspect. You can't never say a person can't have a gun in the household, because when you try that, that's when people have to use their guns against tyranny. That's what tyranny is. When you try to take away my ability to defend, soon as all criminals know, oh, well, they just took everybody's guns. Nobody's got guns in their house no more. They're just going to kick down the doors and come in and rob everybody, man, with their illegal guns. So we got to think about this realistically. And the problem with politics is one side is not willing to sit down and have a human-like, decent conversation where we come up with a solution together. One side automatically has their mind made up that they don't want to listen to nothing the other side has to say. And I'm not even going to point fingers and say what that side is. Anybody has any common sense and follows politics knows what side is not willing to sit down and have an honest, decent debate or conversation to come up with the solution. The other side automatically has their mind made. One side has their mind made up that the other side is just a bunch of racist oppressors. And why would anybody sit down and try to talk with anybody who brings that approach, that just accuses everybody for being exactly the same? That's another thing. That's like saying we all would shoot up. We all are capable of shooting up a school and killing a bunch of elementary kids. No, we're not all capable of doing that, because I'm not capable of doing that. I'm capable of defending myself if somebody comes to my house by any means necessary, but I'm not capable of just going out in the house and saying, you know what, let me go just start shooting random people that did nothing to me, you know? And I don't think there's nobody on the earth that's done something that bad to me that I feel like I have to go kill him in the first place, you know? So we'll probably never get the solution because one side's not willing to sit down and have a honest discussion when the other side is. And one side automatically, every time this happens, they automatically just want to, they either just scream, they start screaming, take away the guns, take away your guns. That's never going to happen in America. I'm going to tell you right now, you try to take away every legal citizen that has a legal gun, got their guns legitimately, then you're asking for a civil war. You're begging for a civil war. And that's what happened. I just think my solution would be, stop sending people to the military at 18 years old, wait till they're 21, and then you might could move up these gun laws with some more restrictions where you can't buy a handgun or a semi-automatic till you turn 21, and you definitely can't leave the house with it or something. Or you can't leave, if you leave the house with it, you got to keep it in your car. We don't need people walking probably outside the store, in the stores, or just outside with guns on their hips. And I never understood that anyways. When people walk with guns on their hips, I would think that they were supposed to walk in the store and show their gun so the stores know. Well, that's not how it legally works. No, you could just walk in the store with your gun underneath the back of your shirt, the front of your shirt, whatever. You don't have to. It's called a concealed carry for a reason. You're not supposed to be showing your gun like the cow. Those guys are just cowboys. They just want to be cowboys when they're walking around and showing their guns. And when people talk about guns for sport, I'm not with that argument. I'm not with the gun for sport argument. I'm totally not with the gun for sport argument. I'm with the gun for self-defense, and that's it. If you don't have a gun for self-defense, you can't give me no other reason that I'm agreeing with you of why you have a gun. Self-defense, and that's it. So there is some restrictions that we could cut back gun use for sport. No more hunting and killing deers for sport, things of that nature. No more, you know, going to the, well, you can't take away the gun ranges. People still got to be able to, they got to know how to use a gun properly. But maybe we could take away, like, hunting, killing for, using guns for sport. Target practice is not, to me, it can be, target practice would be the only gun sport you should allow, probably. No more hunting, killing, you know, with guns. And if you want to hunt, hunt with bow and arrow. Do it like a real man. Hunt with bow and arrow. To me, already, you ain't a real man if you hunt with a gun anyways. A real man would hunt with a bow and arrow, as far as I'm concerned. But we're 56 minutes into this. I'm about to end this up. I'm probably going to come back in with another episode and talk a little bit more about this. Because this is, there's a lot of aspects that you could just really look at it. But I think the hardest aspect of it is that we're sending boys to war because it, at 18 years old, and they could die. If you could die at war at 18, then it's hard for me to say that you can't buy a gun at 18 if we're sending boys to die at war at 18. That's the hardest part, man. That's the hardest part of this whole thing. Once again, I'll thank y'all for tuning in. Don't forget that the video version of this podcast goes to YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Rumble. Then I'll stream it live on three of my Twitter accounts, Twitter at Paul P. Podcast, Twitter Promo Palace LLC, and Twitter at Paul W. Pickett. And also, don't forget the audio version goes to Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Deezer, TuneIn, Stitcher, Slacker, iHeartRadio, Player FM, Podchaser, Podcast Addict, and much, much more. Got to end it before it hits an hour. I'm not going to be able to upload it to Instagram or my Twitter. Once again, I'll thank you for tuning in. Peace, and I'm out.